boys and girls and the young people are in the congregation for the main talk. I'm going to ask the boys and girls to come up in 2 minutes, and then I'm going to ask some young people towards the end of the talk to do something that might be outside the comfort zone, but it could be good, all right? So it could be good. So if you're a young person of high school age, and not to be sexist, but I need girls. So if you're a girl in high school age, okay, looking at you guys, okay. But that's later, so don't worry about that. Nothing to worry about. We, in our Bibles, if you can open your Bibles, we're in John chapter 14. And we're at the beginning of John chapter 14. I'm going to read the first 6 verses, and then, as I say, I'll get the boys and girls to come up after I've read these verses. We've got a wee thing to do with you guys, and then we'll get into the rest of the verses. Let me pray, and then we'll read. Father God, we thank you for being here, Lord. We thank you that you call us to fellowship. Lord, you call us into your family. As brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, we thank you that we can pause, that we can sit under your word. Father, by your Holy Spirit, would you reveal revelation to us this morning? Father, I pray that it's not just information, but it is in fact your revelation. Lord, would you touch our hearts and our minds? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 14, first 6 verses, says this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. So the context to this, Jesus has just given a new commandment to his disciples. He's told them to love one another. He's told them to love God the Father. And then Peter denies that he would deny Jesus. And Jesus says, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. And then we get into the verses that we're looking at. So John 14, verse 1, Jesus saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So those are our verses this morning. Boys and girls, if you're in primary school, can you come out here as we would normally do for the children's talk? So just over here, this side of the platform. So if you're in primary school, out you come. You can stand up. You need to stand up. You need to stand up. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Oh, James is just coming. Great. Yes. Okay. Emily's coming. Excellent. Right, boys and girls, can you line up shoulder to shoulder and face the church, just like here? Just here. Can you line up shoulder to shoulder so everyone can see each other? Great. Okay, church, can you see the boys and girls? Excellent. Guys, I've got one instruction for you, okay? Are you listening? Can you step onto the floor? Excellent. Thank you very much. You can step back up, okay? Now, you can turn around and face me, okay? It's quite good that we've got age range here, okay? Was that a big step? Emily, you're the smallest. Was that a big step for you? No. Kira, was that a big step for you? No. Excellent. Okay, so you've taken a little step or a small step, all right? Now, if I was to say to you, do you know anything about the moon landing? So Anna, who has not been well this week, that's why she's not at church, she's really getting into space right now, and she's got 2 books out of the library about space. So during the Christmas holidays, we've been reading about space, all right? Does anyone know anything about the moon landing? Was any of you guys born when man first walked on the moon? No, no, you weren't. No, no, the answer is no. No, you weren't. Is there anybody in church, were you born, or did you witness on television, man walking on the moon? Oh, look at that. All right. Now, if I was to ask, maybe not you children here, but if I was to ask the church, how would they sum up the moon landing with maybe a phrase or a quote, what would you guys say to me? One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, all right? And it's on the screen, all right? So see that step that you guys took from the stage onto the floor, okay? It wasn't a big step, all right? But back in 1969, Neil Armstrong, he also took what was effectively a small step. But he stepped off the railings of his space shuttle and he put his foot on the moon. And he said this very famous quote, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Have you guys heard that phrase before? Good. That's really cool. I like that. All right. But did you know there was people in church that actually either watched that or heard that on the television? That, to me, that's mind-blowing, because that seems like that was ancient. Like, that was like ages ago, ages and ages ago. All right. But it happened. Okay. So to me, that phrase on the screen sums up the whole of the moon landing, the whole experience. Now, there's so much that you could get into. And as I said, me and Anna have been reading about that. And there's loads of books and there's loads of things that you could get into. But if you were to sum up the moon landing, to me, you sum it up with that phrase. All right. Boys and girls, you can go back to your seats. But as you go back to your seats, think about this, and this is for church as well. If you were to sum up God's story, the Bible, where do you go to? Do you have a go-to phrase or verse that sums up God's story, the Bible? Or do you, if say somebody who doesn't go to church, who's not a Christian, were to turn to you and say, why are you a Christian? Do you have a go-to verse that effectively explains your faith? For me, these verses from John 14 have been on my heart for about 18 months. And I'll tell you why they've been on my heart for the past 18 months towards the end. But for me, you could do well if you quoted John 14, verse 6, when Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. For me, that verse effectively sums up God's message, God's story. We as Christians don't get to be with God our Father without knowing Jesus. And it's my prayer that the boys and girls who have just took that one step, boys and girls, if you have taken a step of faith, if you have put in your trust in Jesus, then that is amazing. That is incredible. But maybe you haven't. Maybe in 2024, this could be the year that you guys take a step of faith. And I say that to the boys and girls because they came up very helpfully and did that for me, effectively. But maybe that's a message for some of us here this morning as well. Maybe some of the adults in the room. Maybe you know or have heard much of the Bible, but you haven't taken that first step of faith and put your trust in Jesus. It's our prayer as a church that 2024 would be your year where you step out in faith. And it might just be a small step. But that's the beauty of what the gospel says, what the Bible says. It just takes a small step of faith. And as it says on screen, one giant leap. If you take just one step of faith and you put your trust in Jesus, it has eternal consequences. It is the best news in the world. One small step of faith will have an eternal consequence for you. That you will be with Jesus, you will be with God the Father and the Holy Spirit when your life here on planet Earth ends. So let's look at our verses, and it kind of ties into what we've been thinking about. Let not your hearts be troubled. Pause. Maybe that is what you need to hear this morning, at the start of this year. Maybe those first 5 or 6 words, let not your hearts be troubled. Do we have some people with troubled hearts in our congregation this morning? If we do, keep reading. Believe in God, believe also in me. Maybe that's the message for you this morning. Is your heart troubled? If so, believe in God. If so, speak to somebody. Who are you here with this morning? Who do you know in church? Cast your burdens on Jesus. And then Jesus goes on and says, "In my Father's house are many rooms." Now, the next slide, I've got a picture of a house. Does anyone recognize that house? Great. Naomi, I will come to you. Anyone else recognize that house? Excellent, Leah. Brilliant. Does anyone not recognize that house? Yeah, okay. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. The next slide might help. It's the same house, but it's at night. It's not Downing Street. We're getting a few more nods now that the lights are on. Okay. Do you get it, guys? You get it? Okay. It's the Home Alone house. It's the Home Alone house. So we're just off the back of Christmas. All right. Now, we introduced this film this year to our household, and I had to fast forward some bits, but it got to the funny bits where the burglars end up getting whacked by many various devices. But the more I watch Home Alone, the more I don't really pay attention. I watch and look at the house and I think, man, that house is amazing. Like, if ever I were to go to that house, that would be just to live in that house. I would take half a day to live in that house, just to see all the rooms. Now, I love this picture because every room is lit up. All right. And it's worldly and earthly to think, oh, if only I could live in a house like that, then I would be happy. All right. When I watch Home Alone, I kind of miss the kind of comic stuff now and I go, oh, that house is really nice. All right. But even the world's best mansion is nothing compared to what Jesus describes what heaven will be like. And in John 14, and the Bible describes heaven in different places, and we don't get the full picture, we get glimpses of it. And interestingly, Jesus describes heaven as his Father's house, and there are many rooms. Think how big that house must be. For those who have put their faith and belief and trust in Jesus, since Jesus was here from that point onwards, and even for those in the Old Testament who put their faith and trust in God's promise, Jesus describes heaven will be like a mansion with many, many rooms. Now, to me, that house looks amazing, but that's an earthly, worldly house. Our Father's house in heaven is going to be the best mansion we could possibly ever imagine. And the Bible tells us if you put your faith and if you put your trust in Jesus, then you will get a room in that house. Here's a question. Do you ever go to somebody's house and you don't knock the door? You just walk in. All right. There's about 2 houses that I can do that. One of them being my own house. I don't need to knock my door for my own house. The other house is my Father's house, my mum and dad's house, Ronnie and Aileen's house. When I'm going to there, I don't need to knock, I'm just going in. I'm like, why? Because it's my mum and dad's house. I'm not going to knock my mum and dad's house. Why don't I need to knock? Because it's my Father's house. It's my mum. I'm going to my mum and dad's, all right? And then sometimes, this is when you know, if you're in my inner circle, if I'm going to your house and I knock and open, that means you're very close. You're a very close friend. If I am knocking and opening, because then I'm comfortable. And then some people, you just knock or ring the door. But my Father's house and my mum and dad's house, I don't need to knock because I know it's my mum and dad. I'm going into my mum and dad's house. The relationship that I have with my mum and dad is at such a level that I don't need to ring the bell. I don't need to knock and wait, that I can walk in. When my life ends here on earth, I will have a room in my Father's house. It will be like a mansion. Jesus goes on. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And this is really good. This is really good. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? So Thomas is bold enough to ask a question to Jesus. And he asks the way question. He says, Jesus, you've talked about the way. And Thomas says, we do not know the way. And then we get this brilliant answer. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So let's look at that just now for the remainder of our time. So on screen we have Jesus saying, he is the way. And as I said, if you were to sum up the Bible, if you were to sum up the good news, you would do well to quote John 14, verse 6. Of course, Jesus is the way. He's the way to heaven. No other belief, no other trust in anything else other than Jesus gets us into God's mansion, into heaven. But it's not just that. Jesus has made a way, Jesus has made a way with peace with God. It's because of Jesus' death on the cross. That's the peace that God the Father was looking for. Not because of what Jesus had done, but because of what each and every single one of us has done. We are all sinners. And because we are sinners, then there is God's wrath is waiting, which is a righteous wrath, which is bad news. But because of what Jesus done on the cross, that brings about peace. I've been reading a book at the start of the year, I've been reading just a small book, J.C. Ryle, and he talks about fully understanding the bad news. We will only fully get the good news when we understand the bad news. Jesus prepares the way to heaven, but Jesus has also prepared the way of peace between us and God. And maybe you've heard that before. Maybe that's the information bit that I was talking about earlier on. Maybe that information needs to land in your heart as revelation. Maybe we need to grasp the idea of actually God's wrath is very real. So Jesus prepares the way to heaven and also peace with God. Then Jesus goes on, Jesus says that he is the way and the truth. As we move into 2024, and as somebody who works alongside children and young people, it's eye-watering to see children, young people navigating their life and the world that they live in. And the search for truth that they look in so many different aspects of life. And it's so many different aspects of life that they're looking for truth in the wrong area. We find truth in God's word. Jesus is the truth. And it's gospel truth. That's a phrase that we're probably taking for granted. Boys and girls, I don't know if you've ever been told something and you've been asked the question, is that true? Is that right? And then the reply that you get is, it's gospel. It's gospel truth. That's why we're here. Christians believe and we know that this message is the truth. Jesus is the truth. It's here in the Bible. But that's for each and every one of us to discover. Yes, you can be told it, and that's why we're here, but you need to discover it for yourself. You need to take that step and believe. John's gospel is all about belief. There's a difference between reading and believing. Every single one of us, no matter how young or old we are, need to believe this message. We need to believe what Jesus has done for each and every single one of us. Because it's truth. And the Bible also tells us the consequences of what happens when we don't. When we don't put our faith and trust in Jesus, then we are told that hell awaits us. But that is what Jesus says to us. That is what he says, that he is the truth, gospel truth. And then he says, finally, he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. A life that brings glory to God. And for those of us who have made that step of faith, when we do make that step of faith, no matter how young or how old we are, then at that point, our life gets transformed. And we start living our life to give glory to God. Instead of living our life for ourselves, we start giving glory to God in every single thing that we do. I was about 8 years old when I first made my step of faith, when the penny dropped and it clicked that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life for me. But it wasn't until I was 18 that I actually decided, or I put my trust fully in God, and I said, okay, God, I want to live my life for you. So at 8 years old, I believed. But at 18, I gave my life and said, God, I want what you want, not what I want for my life. And that's what Jesus says to us here in these verses. And as I said, J.C. Ryle says of these verses, it is such rich soil that we can only scratch the surface. And you would do well to pause each night and think this year in 2024 that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If we were all to do that this year, then the impact of that would be mind-blowing. But again, as I said, as we wrap up, these verses have been on my heart for the past 18 months. So go back to summer 2022. And I was leading an SU camp, and I was leading with a team. And on the Tuesday night, one of my team members was doing the teaching that evening, and he was speaking about the Jesus I am sayings. And in the end of his talk, at the end of Peter's talk, he had strips of paper, and each strip had an I am saying that Jesus said. And he encouraged every single member on team to take one and take it back to our groups, and we would discuss it with our groups. So that night, that Tuesday night, I went and got my strip, came back, went to my group, and we did our questions, and we delved into the Bible. The next day was the Wednesday. Now, I don't know if many of you are familiar with SU summer camps, but usually in the midweek point, you go on a day away, and you usually go to the shopping centre. And we were up at Glen Shee, so we went down to Dundee, and we had 3 hours of shopping to fill most of the day. And this is where I need young people, all right? So one of my good friends, Hannah, is our assistant team leader, and she divided the team members with groups across the camp. And every team member was responsible to watch over a group of young people as we went round the shops. So I need about 3 or 4 young people who are in high school age to come up. They need to be girls. Thank you, Becca. They need to be girls because it only works. This story only works because it's girls. Right, perfect. You 4. Fantastic. A wee round of applause because that takes guts. Okay, so girls, imagine Hannah has assigned me to you guys and we have 3 hours of going round the shops. Okay, so what I need you to do in a wee huddle, decide on 4 shops that you would want to go to during your day away at the shops. Okay, so we huddle, okay. So can you picture the scene, right? 4 high school girls, not sisters, so they all look different, and this guy, okay. So for the first 2 hours, the girls were totally at it, all right? They took me to the body shop, they took me to the nail bar, they took me to Primark. All right, so I am, okay, have we decided that we landed? Are we there? Yeah, okay.
I think
okay, right, okay. Can you share what four shops you would like to go to?
So we said Boots.
Boots.
Urban Outfitters.
Urban Outfitters.
Primark.
M&S.
Yep.
Nice. Cool. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to go up, we're going to go along, we're going to go down, and we're going to go end back here, okay? So just imagine the scene, okay? So those four shops, so that'd be shop one, right. Shop two at the corner, shop three at that corner, shop four at this corner, okay? And we're going to those four shops. What were they again?
Urban Outfitters. Boots.
Primark.
M&S.
Can we make Primark the last one? Is that okay?
Okay.
Cool, right, on you go. Okay. So just do what you would do, okay? Just do what you do. Forget that I'm here, but I'm just overseeing you, okay? Right, if we stopped at the first one, excellent. Do your wee shopping, look at the stuff. Excellent. Okay, carry on. Next shop. So picture the scene, church, okay? I am trying to watch over these guys, but not being as close, giving them their space because they're young people, doing what they need to do. But can you imagine what it was like with an adult following four high school young girls, okay, around the shops, okay? And I'm thinking for the first 2 hours, God, what have you got me here? Why am I doing this, okay? Excellent. Round of applause to the girls, thank you. That was the first 2 hours. But something turned. On the final hour, one of the girls, and I always remember this, took a moment and said, Craig, can you tell me why? And then her question was something along the lines of, what's the difference between Catholics and Protestants? And I was like, wow, where did this come from? And from one question from one of the girls, it opened the floodgates. And from the boldness of one of the girls, it allowed the other three girls to ask their questions. So then that went to, Craig, can you tell me, how do we get to heaven? Craig, can you tell me, why is there evil in the world? And I'm like, wow, okay, God, proper arrow prayers, you're going to have to help me here. But maybe the first 2 hours was to set up the final hour, all right? And I always think of John 14, verse 6, that Jesus says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is the last slide. So we started, in the last slide. We started in space, and then we're going to land in Primark. So we got the excellent. Okay. So we started in space. We're landing in Primark. We're in the middle of Primark. Okay. And one of you asked me the question, Craig, do Catholics go to heaven? And I'm like, how do you answer that? But I suddenly remembered, in my wallet, I had the strip of paper from the Tuesday night, and on the strip of paper said that Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I turned to one of the girls that asked me that question, and I said to them, I was like, girls, huddle round. And I had the strip of paper, and I said, what does that say? And they were able to say that Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And my answer was, if that person who was of the Catholic faith, if they wholeheartedly believed that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, then I would not be surprised to see them in heaven. And that was enough for them. All right, but I'll never forget the shopper who was walking with her basket, looking at this group of young girls with this guy with a strip of paper. I can now not go to Primark and think of John 14, verse 6. All right, and girls, it was great, and it was very very encouraging to see you got into proper acting mode. So thank you very much. But now, can you think of one question that you have that you would like to get answered? Now, you don't have to share it, okay? But as you go back to your seats, if that is the same scenario for you, what questions are you carrying that you would like an opportunity to get answered, all right? And it doesn't have to be me that answers it, but as you go back to your seats, you'll get a round of applause. But think, is there a question that's stopping you guys from going, oh, actually, I get it now? Because this is complicated. Girls, you can have a seat. Thank you very much. Thank you. Asking questions is one of the best things young people of high school age that you could possibly do. Children of primary school age, it is one of the best things that you can possibly do. Adults, if you have questions about Jesus, about the Christian faith, it is one of the best things that you can do is to ask your questions. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas's question leads us back to the first verses. When we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, then we will be with Jesus and his Father's house. That is good news, but sometimes it takes a question or a couple of questions to get us there, to get us to step from information to revelation. From unbelief, it takes a step of belief. And that's all it takes, is one little step. One little step of belief will have eternal consequences. Let me pray, and then the band will come back up.